This thumbnail sketch given in these two verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, inserted here in verses 9 and 10, in the midst of this endless list of difficult names to pronounce, it's just a very delightful stopping point along the way, illustrating for us that this truth that no part of the Bible is really barren. Now, these opening nine chapters just provide lists and lists of names. But in the midst of it all, we find what I have decided to call a praying saint in an unexpected place. Of course, we can think of another man who prayed in an unexpected place. We think of Jonah. He was running from God. He was in mid-flight, and the Lord took him to a very surprising place, into the belly of that great fish. And there he prayed. What a prayer that was. You can read it for yourself in Jonah chapter 2. But God took him to a very unexpected place to teach him how to really pray. And here in the midst of all these lists, these endless lists of names, in this unexpected place, we find a praying saint. And his prayer is found here in verse 10 in its entirety. It was a short prayer. Our prayers don't have to be long to be successful. This man's prayer was short, and it was straight to the point, and it was very, very successful. Oh, to pray prayers like that tonight in this public prayer meeting, to lay hold upon God and to feel liberty to pray, to want to pray. If you have a desire to pray, you might not be used with it, but if you have a desire, the Lord will give you the enabling to do it if you venture forth by faith and pray in the Saviour's name. Let me just read this prayer to you again. I want to make a few comments. I don't intend to preach as long as I did last night. I'll try my best. It's very difficult, but I'll try again. Listen to what he prayed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. First of all, Jabez prayed intelligently. Where do I get that in the text? Well, we're told here, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He did not cry out to some other deity, man-made deity, or some god out there like the mariners did in Jonah chapter 1. We mentioned these mariners a couple of weeks back in the Sunday night service. They began by looking to their God, G-O-D, small letters. But before their experience was over out there in the Mediterranean Sea, they began to focus their attention upon the Lord. Small capitals in your Bible, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. And so this man, he is praying intelligently because he's talking to God. He cried to the covenant-keeping God of Israel, the God who had revealed himself in the Scriptures. And he knew that God hears and answers prayer. In Luke chapter 18, we read of the Pharisee, and this is what he did. He came into the house of God and he prayed with himself. Well, that was a bit useless, was it not? He prayed with himself. Evidently, his prayer got no further than that. He asked nothing, and guess what? He received nothing. He never asked anything, you see. His prayer was only an excuse to parade his perfections. It was only a show. There was no substance in it. He never got through to God. There was nothing in it at all. He was not conformed to God, nor was he close to God. And something more, he was not even conscious of God. Now, when we come to pray, I trust that we will all be conscious that we are in the presence of God, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, that we are close to him through Christ, that we are conformed to him in the way that we conduct our lives and our business to the glory of God. Now, let me just issue a warning here. don't seek primarily the blessing. While these blessings ought to be prayed for and they're needful for each one of us in our lives, let's not primarily seek the blessings. Rather, let us seek the blesser. Let's get in touch with him tonight. And Jabez knew the character of God, the nature of God. He knew what he was able to ask for, how to ask for it. And I believe that he was saved from being superficial. When he prayed, his prayer was intelligent. He wanted to focus on God, you see. That's the whole point. Focusing on God. And when we come to pray tonight, let us focus on God. Let us be taken up with him. Get a view and get a sight of who he is and what he has done for us and what he's able to do for us in all of our pathetic need. I think about Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10 of his book, and there he gives himself to prayer. And his windows being open, we're told, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. Why towards Jerusalem? Well, again, I have already said about Jabez, Daniel wanted to focus on God. He wanted to get his eyes on God. Now, to help his people realize his presence with them, God manifested himself in the Shekinah glory in the temple. Well, now the temple was destroyed. But Daniel prayed toward that place that identified with God's presence. Our prayers must be directed Godward. We need to be close to him, conform to his mind and to his will, and we need to be conscious that we are in the presence of God. Well, after all, prayer is a conversation with God. It's a conversation with God. And it is quite evident that Jabez had been instructed in the school of prayer, and therefore his prayer was informed, it was intelligent. Prayer is not learnt in the classroom. Prayer is learnt in the closet. So said E.M. Bounds, a great man on prayer, and if you can pick up any of his books, it will be a blessing to you to read through those wonderful books on the subject of prayer. This particular text was chosen by Hudson Taylor as his prayer on entering the new year in 1867 for the forward movement in China. Well, Sunday school has started and young people are going and so on. Brothers mentioned things that have been planned for the days ahead. Let us take this opportunity tonight to pray this prayer. It would be a good prayer for 2022 regarding the work of God in this congregation, in this church. So many things that we need to pray for. Well, here's a great prayer to pray. And if we approach God realizing who he is, we will pray intelligently. We'll not ask for silly things and foolish things. We'll ask for all important things in agreement to the mind and will of God. So Jabez had been well initiated into the school of prayer, and therefore his prayer was well informed. So his prayer was intelligent. Then he prayed earnestly. He did not simply say, Lord, bless me. Many times we say that, Lord, bless me. And we long for that blessing tonight. Lord, bless me. It's a good prayer to pray, but listen to it. That's not all he said. He said, oh, with earnestness, that thou wouldst bless me. Indeed, literally, it means, in blessing, bless me. I wonder why he prayed that. It's very possible that he was remembering what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee. That in blessing I will bless thee. And when we have the scriptures of truth, we're praying on solid ground. And we can pray earnestly because we believe in the promises of God. This must surely challenge us, should it not? For I have to speak personally. Often our prayers are passionless. Half-hearted. Is that the way you feel at times? Is it any wonder that such prayers do not reach the throne of heavenly grace? This was no light-hearted penny in the slot approach to prayer. Oh, you're standing there putting a few coins, trying to get something out here. This is what I want, this is what I need, and all this. Now, This is intelligent prayer, earnest prayer, laying hold upon God. We need prayers like those offered by Jacob of old in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis 26. I will not let thee go, listen to it, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go except thou bless me, laying hold upon God earnestly, with passion, with zeal, shaking the face of God. The sense of need is the very root of prayer. Adam Clark, in his commentary, said, prayer requires more of the heart than of the tongue. And listen to what Luther said, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. I think of Daniel again, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, back to the same chapter mentioned a few minutes ago, it says he went into his house. What does that suggest to you? Well, he prayed at home. Do you see that? He prayed at home. There can be no spiritual life without personal prayer. Private prayer is the secret of spiritual strength. The place does not matter, so long as we have a place. We're familiar with the words, where'er we seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Have you found that place today? Have you been in that place today? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, just beholding him in his glory. We don't need to rush in. We don't need to break down heaven's door. It's always ajar. He's always waiting to hear the voices of his crying people. But let us, as we draw near, give him thanks for who he is. Take a few moments just to reflect on who he is. Then we will be able to pray intelligently, and by the grace of God, we'll be able to pray effectively for the glory of his great name. When a general chooses the place where he intends to strike the enemy, he pays most particular attention to those points which would prove to be most important in the battle. There was on the battlefield of Waterloo a farmhouse which Wellington saw to be the key to that situation, his situation. He did not spare his troops in his endeavour to hold that point, and as a result of taking that point and holding that point, victory was achieved. It actually happened. And for us, it is the closet. That's the place where we can launch our attacks upon the works of darkness. That's the place where we can focus upon Jesus Christ, lay hold upon him, and do business with God. Jabez prayed intelligently. Jabez prayed earnestly. Jabez prayed definitely. Now, when he prayed, he knew what he wanted, and he asked accordingly. There was nothing haphazard about it. That wasn't difficult. He knew what God would permit. He knew the mind of God. He knew what God was doing in his life. He felt compelled to pray in this way. The Spirit was moving his life. That's a good place to be in, good place to be at in one's life, life's experience. So he had carefully thought about these things. He had meditated about these things. And then when the moment came, after giving careful consideration, considering the promises, considering who God was and his power and his ability, then when the moment came, that was the launching forth. The moment came, he launched forth, and in very definite terms, he began to pray. Is this not the way Hannah prayed? Definite prayers. She came before God, a heartbroken woman, and she prayed, give me a man-child, very specific. No disrespect to ladies or girls. She was being very specific, give me a man-child. What did God do? Did he give her a set of twins? No, he gave her a man-child. Called his name Samuel, asked of God. She was very specific, and she prayed, and she got what she wanted. Remember the time Saul, he prayed about the thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. Most likely it was his eyesight. He prayed about it thrice. That doesn't simply mean he prayed about it three times and left it. No, he prayed about it often. And God just said to him, this is my answer to you. I'm not going to heal your eyesight, if that was the situation. Many commentators believe it was. I'm just going to give you grace to deal with it. Now, that may be a hard pill to have to swallow, but his ways are best, and he knows what's best for us. That's the mystery of the whole thing. He knows what's best. And so the Lord might give you that very thing that you've been coveting and desiring, as in the case of Hannah. Or he may just say to you, dear child of God, I love you. I cherish you. You're precious to me. And because I love you and you're precious to me, I'm just going to give you the grace you need to deal with this. My grace is sufficient for thee. He prayed definitely about the thing. And God heard him. And God was pleased to bless him. Now, I read a prayer uttered by a man called Lancelot Andrews, who lived 1555 through 1626. Listen to this prayer. He's been very definite here. Lord, oh, he's addressing the God of heaven. Lord, he's looking up, you see. Look up tonight and pray. Be thou within me to strengthen me, without me to keep me, above me to protect me, beneath me to uphold me, before me to direct me, behind me to keep me from straying, round about me to defend me. Blessed be thou, O Lord, our Father, forever and ever. That's some prayer. He was very specific, very definite in what he was asking for. He was the bishop in the Church of England. He served as the royal chaplain to Queen Elizabeth I, to James I, and Charles I. He was fluent in 15 different languages. I can only speak Ballymena English and not even good at that at times. He had 15 languages. And when the Hampton Court Conference convened in the year 1604, he was chosen as one of the translators of the proposed New English Bible. And when the King James Version of the Bible that we cherish and love was published in 1611, his contribution could be seen in the Pentateuch and in the historical books. Ah, he was a man of prayer. And God used him. And then finally, Jabez prayed effectually. God granted him that which he requested. A short prayer finds its way to heaven. Does that surprise you? Doesn't surprise me at all. Peter out in the Sea of Galilee, Lord, save me. The woman of Canaan came to the Lord. Lord, help me, she prayed. Did God in Christ answer prayer? He did. God is not moved by need, but by faith. Prayer is taking our troubles to God, and faith is leaving them there. His prayer was answered. There's a tremendous encouragement in these words for every one of us, because the God of Jabez is our God tonight. He hasn't aged. He hasn't grown old. He's never failed. He never falters. His power is still undiminished. He's God. He's supreme in all things. And he's our God, and he's with us by the Spirit tonight in this time of prayer around the throne of heavenly grace. Press in tonight. Lay hold upon God. Behold him in all of his glory and all of his majesty and all of his power. And the promise is given to us, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Seek to make this prayer of Jabez your prayer tonight and our prayer and the rest of the nights of prayer. Jabez is a hidden away among these genealogies like a lovely flower in an unexpected place, or a praying saint in an unexpected place. He prayed intelligently. He prayed effectively, earnestly. He prayed definitely. And he prayed effectually. I'm going to close now. I still have run out of time, but listen. There were two missionaries in their African hut one night. During the middle of the night, the wife had this terrible fear descend upon her. She couldn't understand what it was. She looked around. She could see nothing. And she tried to sleep again, but she still felt very uncomfortable. Something wasn't right. She whispered to her husband to awake. She said, there's something not right here. So he was able to have a look around, and there was a great cobra with its head up, ready to strike. And very stealthily, the husband reached out for his rifle. By the grace of God, he was able to aim the rifle and put and shoot the cobra through the head. That's a wonderful story, a story of deliverance. But that's not the end of the story. On that very same day, a friend of the two missionaries, away in Canada, was cleaning the floor, and she felt constrained to get down on her knees to pray for her friends, and she did so. Then when the missionaries actually got the chance to speak to this friend of theirs in Canada, they told her of their experience. And then the woman from Canada said, "What date was that?" They mentioned the date. "What time was that?" They mentioned the time. And she was able to identify the day and the time to be the time she was moved of God in Canada to pray for their friends in Africa. Who says God doesn't answer prayer? Hallelujah. God answers prayer, and he's still in the business of saving, and he's still in the business of sending showers of blessing from his presence, because God cannot change, and he's our God, and he's here tonight. And what's he here for? He would love to hear your voice. He would love to hear you pray. It would be a wonderful thing tonight if we had about 10 people just bursting into prayer right away. Well, one after another. I leave it with you. Tonight, tomorrow night, I'm going to come back and finish the message. I want to preach in the prayer itself. So we're going to talk tomorrow night again about pain, about Mr. Sorrow. That's what his name means. Jabez, the man who was helped by his handicap, a praying saint in an unexpected place. May God bless his word to our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen. Now let's get down to our time of prayer, and as I often mention, please.